Let's begin with a word of prayer, and then we will sing a song or two. Will, would you pray first, please?
Then, Father, on this day, Lord, we come to the song of good brother, Lord, may God continue to come to thy will, Lord, and Lord, see your souls mighty for this land, Lord, and I stand on myself as a standard, that souls may glorify thee, and souls may come to you, and say, in grace unto the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord, and be saved from us for all time. And, Lord, pray for Alan, who's our sick, Lord, remember to stand in the hospital, Lord, help him greatly, help him, give him the oxygen, give him the steroids, and stabilize his condition, Lord, and bring him health safely and healthily back to health, Lord, and bless him and keep, Lord, and stop any travels, Lord, and help him and bless him as well, Lord, humble his family, Lord, Lord, pray for all the people, Lord, that are in the hospital, Lord, and we remember Victoria, had a stroke, Lord, we know firm and keep her, Lord, and Lord, bless her up there and send her the message of grace through Jesus Christ, Lord, that she may turn from her sins, repent and be saved forevermore, Lord. With Anne Boyd and Parsons, Lord, help her, Lord, and send her a speedy message, Lord, so she may be saved also, Lord, also as well, Lord. With Dolores, who's deteriorating condition, Lord, minister unto Lord, and save her from her sins as well, Lord. With all the people that are come to church at this time, Lord, or earlier, or a later time throughout the world, Lord, and Lord, our teaching through the full counsel of the word, Lord, you may use it to teach, reach out to those that are lost, Lord, and to convict people, Lord, that they return from their sins and be saved in Jesus' blood, Lord. Bless me, Lord, with Mark, and to give a touch to the Spirit, Lord, direct them through the word, Lord, and direct us and guide us through the word, Lord, to work in our lives, Lord, and use it in our lives, Lord, and bring us a new week as a blood bought, Lord, and provide for us to keep, Lord, and give hearts and prayer, bring them safely and securely back to church, Lord, and grateful to us for Jesus Christ, amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's take our little black books and go to number 10 this morning. Number 10 is
Thine Be the Glory. And number 10.
Make us
close those books, and we'll just sing
number 11, while we're here, immortal, invisible, God only wise.
Bring us the Bible reading, brother.
This morning's reading is from the book of Psalms, Psalm 103. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases, who redeemeth thy life from destruction, who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, either will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass, as a flower of the field, to be flourished. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone. The place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those that remember his commandments, to do them. The Lord prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, yea, his angels that excel in strength, and do his commandments, hearkening unto the voice of his word. Bless ye the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, and do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. Amen.
Big thank you to Steve and Norman for the suggestion and execution of Psalm 103. I actually have the whole thing marked twice. So, excellent verses. We appreciate that. Just want to remind you this morning to get yourself a wee prayer list. And specifically, if you would just, I pray that you're getting the updates about Stan, that you would specifically pray for Stan. I think he had to go back onto more oxygen. He's still on steroids. His blood sugars were up through the roof. So he's on insulin as well for a wee while, but that seemingly is caused by steroids. And he looked a bit washed out whenever I saw the picture of him with Samuel. So please do pray for Stan throughout the next few days and weeks. One of the notes that Karen sent me said that I think he's going to have to end up doing physio for his chest, for his breathing, and that could be 3 months of physio for that. So please do pray for Stan. He's in a bad shape right now, and I wouldn't wish it on anybody. Please do be much in prayer. to be honest with you, everything else has sort of gone into the background, which doesn't mean they're any less important. I do just pray that you would, even once, there's 7 of us here, if we just covenanted to go through that list and pray over it once during the week, throughout the week, each person here and the prayer request that we have made known would be prayed for 7 times. I know there are folks that have lost loved ones, and I would ask that you would remember those families and other folks that are ill, especially Steve and Pat. Please do pray for them. Will's granny, Mary Ann, she got her operation deferred back to September. They're hoping that current infections are well gone by then. Please remember them. Please do continue to pray for Monica's mom. She recovers from her surgeries and her ablative procedure on the heart. And would ask also that you would pray for the tracking that is going on. We had, can't not have good weather at the moment, but we had good weather yesterday morning. I think we kicked off an hour earlier and it was still, the sun was still, intense at 9 o'clock whenever we started. So please do pray for that. That's over in Strathfoyle at the moment. We've also got private prayer requests. Don't know what they are, the Lord does, but we're praying about them for you. Please do remember that. And just keep on keeping on. I have blessings, and we have our latest pensioner still. Tracking opportunities. And we're still here and we're still kicking. Please do. The big one at the moment is Stan and Karen and Jade and Mark and Jeremiah and Samuel and Faith. Whatever it is gone through the house, and it's really knocked Stan for a loop. Please do pray for them all, but especially Stan at this particular time. I was considering really wanting to bring it before the church if we would just send a couple of £100 up to help them with bills and things like that, because as you know, Stan works and he isn't right now. So would everybody be okay with that? That's grand. We'll get that organized. All right. I think that's about that. Let's have a word of prayer and then we'll sing another song. Dear loving Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this new day and for the life and health and strength that you've given us. I pray you, Lord, that you would look into our hearts and minds, that you would cleanse us and refresh us, Lord, that you would meet with us there. And Father, that you would work that work in our hearts and minds that requires no anesthetic or recovery time. Pray especially at this time for Brother Stan, for his health issues. You know everything that's going on there, and I pray you, Lord, for Karen and the children and the rest of the folks at the church, Lord, that, Father, that you would set Stan on his feet, that you would take and use this as a time to work on him and on the family and on the church family and on us too, that you would give wisdom and skill to doctors and nurses, that, Lord, Father, you know all of his needs, and I pray that you would supply them. Pray too for our church family, for those that are here right now, and especially for Esther and Pat and Steve and Frank, and even Christine and Marianne, Lord, for Leonard, for Rita's kids, for Elaine and Hillary, for the McMahons, Lord, for all those that have been and gone, I pray your good hand upon them, Father, for a restoration, for a salvation, Lord. For lost loved ones, Lord, we remember those too, and pray that you would convict of sin and judgment to come. For those that are still in hospital suffering, Lord, I pray you for comfort and ease. I pray you, Lord, for remembrance of an old hymn or a sermon or a verse of scripture, Lord, something that would point them to the foot of the cross. Lord, I pray you for divine intervention. For our leaders, not just in this country, but Lord, countries of the whole world, I pray you for sense. I pray you for humility. I pray you, Lord, for strength and boldness. I pray you, Lord, please, for salvation for them. Lord, you know all of our needs, but we pray you, Lord, most of all, that you would be with Stan and the family, that you would be one of our number two, and that you would minister to your children wherever it is that they are. Pray for divine provision and protection and escapes, but Lord, I pray you for our daily bread. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your Word, for the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord, for your long-suffering towards us, and Lord, for the time we're able to spend with you now. We love you and thank you, Lord. Amen. All right. Let's take our big hymn books. Turn to 178, and we will sing, as soon as I find it, Jesus Loves Even Me. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing. If you're not, you can just come in and see.
This is the dearest that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Though I forget him and wander away, still he doth love me wherever I stray. Back to his dear loving arms would I cling, when I remember that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me. Oh, if there's only one song I can sing, when in his beauty I see the great King, this shall my song in eternity be. Oh, what a wonder that Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. Jesus loves me. I am so glad that Jesus loves me. Jesus loves even me.
Amen. You may be seated, but don't put your hymn books away just yet. If you want to go up to 259, we'll remain seated for Jesus saves.
Sound. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Spread the tidings all around. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Bear the news to every land. Climb the steeps and cross the waves. Onward is our Lord's command. Jesus saves. Jesus saves, wafted on the rolling tide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Tell to sinners far and wide. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing ye islands of the sea. Echo back ye ocean caves. Earth shall keep her jubilee. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death an endless life. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly through the gloom. When the heart for mercy craves, sing in triumph for the tomb. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves. This our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves.
Amen. Let's put our hymn books away and take our Bibles out and turn to Mark chapter 8 this morning. Mark chapter 8. It's a good chapter to be in. It has many chapters that begin with Mark. I like that. Well, my mom liked it anyway, and my dad liked it. Anyway, at the risk of repeating myself, Stan is weighing heavy on my heart. Please do continue to pray for Stan, even if you're sitting chopping carrots or potatoes or something, or sitting watching the TV. Mute the volume for a few seconds and just call Stan's name out. I know we have joked, and Stan has always been one to joke about such things, but there's no smiles on his face right now. I know he's feeling the pinch, and just pray for him when you get a second. I know there are many such people that have also need of prayers, and whatever comes to your heart, indeed, if the Lord, I'm going to just a wee bit of a personal testimony. Many years ago, as you know, if Neil was still alive and Margaret was still alive, we could have had our own wee sci-fi club in the church. They were all Doctor Who fans and Star Trek fans and this, that, and the other. But I found that the most blessed time to watch Star Trek, because Star Trek used to broadcast just about the time, just before church started. most blessed time to watch Star Trek was on a VHS tape after church was over. Before it was rushed, it was almost like you were using it instead of church. And many times I have found the best times to pray is whenever you're in the middle of doing something that you love to do, and you just set that aside for a few seconds just to go into God's presence and call out whatever your prayer request is at any particular time. But please, please do remember to pray for Stan. He's in bad shape at the moment. So anyway, Mark chapter 8, I'm only going to read 9 verses. I hope it's not too much of a shock for you this morning. I want to spend a little bit of time on the subject of just a little. In those days, the multitude being very great, and having nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples unto him, and saith unto them, I have compassion on the multitude, because they have now been with me 3 days, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away fasting to their own houses, they will faint by the way, for divers of them have come from far. And his disciples answered him, From whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? And he asked them, How many loaves have you? And they said, 7. And he commanded the people to sit down on the ground, and he took the 7 loaves and gave thanks and brake, and gave to his disciples to set before them. And they did set them before the people. And they had a few small fishes, and he blessed and commanded to set them also before them. So they did eat and were filled, and they took up of the broken meat that was left 7 baskets. And they that had eaten were about 4,000, and he sent them away. Let's have another word of prayer, and then we'll spend a little bit of time thinking on the subject of just a little. Christy, if you would, brother, would you pray for us, please?
We ask and pray especially for Stan this morning. I pray to give him a bit of respite from the breath of this fighting, Lord, constantly. I pray that your good hand be upon him today, Lord, and Lord, that you heal him fully and help him recover, please. Comfort his family at this time as well, Lord. I'm sure it's heavy upon our hearts and minds every moment of the day, Lord. Strengthen his spirits, give him encouragement, Lord. Just let him know that you're close by him as well. Help us be with the preacher this time, Lord. I know, Lord, as you fed many thousands with one pack lunch, Lord, with one message, you can feed everyone that's here. And I pray that needs will be met here, Lord, that you would use the message that you provided, Lord, just to strengthen the church, Lord, to encourage each one, Lord, to give us a bit of direction, Lord, or correction, Lord, and just please have your way amongst us this morning. Accomplish your will, we pray. Guide us and lead us, Lord, across those people who are seeking. Help us to be that example, Lord, that souls need in these days. Lord, to show your love, Lord, and show the way to the cross. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Now, thanks, Krista. All right. I am sure there's very few people that ever sit in a church have never heard of the feeding of the many thousands that Jesus, fed in the New Testament. I know everybody has heard of the feeding of the 5,000, not counting women and children, but very few people that are not students of the Bible have heard of the 4,000 that were fed shortly afterwards, not counting, obviously, women and children. It's one of 2 very interesting miracles that Jesus did, and I do believe it was to speak to the hearts and minds of those that trusted in Moses, and Moses, obviously, as you remember, brought the children of Israel out of Egypt, and God fed tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, for 40 years in the wilderness. Not quite the same, but it was still the power of God that fed his people for those 40 years. And here we have a very, very similar miracle happening twice, just in case people missed it the first time around. Now, it's an interesting thing that as you read this, a lot of people think that it was a bit like a gospel meeting that we would have today, that everybody got up and had a leisurely breakfast and a nice shower and got into their comfortable clothes and they headed out to a tent mission for an hour. And they heard the gospel preached, and they maybe got to shake hands with a few folks and meet up with a few folks, and the people that organized the gospel meeting maybe had tea and sandwiches, or if it was weather like this, maybe orange or just plain water and some light and cold foods. But it wasn't like that. We have so many other things that seem to call for our attention these days. We've got the dishes, and we've got the kids, and the husband, and the wife, and the hobbies, and somewhere to be in the evening, and so on and so forth. But the Word of God made flesh records that the people had been with Jesus and listening to him for 3 days. And these people weren't saved. Yes, they trusted in God. They didn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. Let's have a quick question time. How would you feel if I announced that from Saturday morning until Monday afternoon, we're going to be in church and we're going to be listening to preaching? I know most of you sitting here, if not all of you, know there is no way I could even do that. This was God Almighty that did that back in the day. My voice wouldn't be up to it. I'd be absolutely hammered. And I honestly think that maybe a lot of us would have other things to do and would maybe balk at it a bit, or just think, well, that seems a bit too Christian for me. You mean no TV and no Facebook and Twitter and WhatsApp for like 3 days? How am I going to survive? Well, back in these days, we had people that had been waiting for 400 years, not them individually, but as a people, they'd waited for 400 years for this Messiah to come. And they were not going to miss out on what Jesus said because they had to nip down to the local chippy for a burger or a bit of fried cod. They were sticking it out with Jesus. They were keeping going. They listened. Their dedication showed in that they didn't go home at night, and because they were running out of food or anything and they thought they didn't have enough, they stuck with it. And I know we haven't had very many recently, but in the past few years we have done what we call our all-day preaching, but really it's only like 3 hours. We just put the two services together and we'll have a cup of tea or something in the middle. And sometimes that's even too much for people. 3 hours in the church? Are you some sort of Bible thumper? That's what we'd be thinking. I remember starting to get many, many very worried looks in a church in the States. Whenever I was really annoyed about the other Bible versions, and I ranted and raved for about 20 minutes, and then I pulled out my notes and preached another 45 minute sermon, and people were starting to shift in their seats. Obviously something, they had a joint or something in the oven, or something was needing cooked, or they were going to miss the first free parking space down at Perkins or McDonald's or KFC or wherever it is that people eat on a Sunday. But these people didn't. They weren't worrying about anything else other than staying with the Lord, even to the point that the Bible doesn't record anybody coming up to the Lord and saying, Lord, we've no food. The Lord says to the disciples, look, I'm a bit concerned about the people. They've been with us for 3 days. We're in the middle of nowhere. And they've nothing to eat. And the verse that we're taking verse number 4 as our text, and 4 and 5. And the disciples pretty much say that, from whence can a man satisfy these men with bread here in the wilderness? I've heard many preachers preach in this portion of God's word and know that the Lord knew what he was going to do, but he was trying to reinforce a point that with men there's many things are impossible, but not with God, because with God all things are possible. These folks needed food, and God is not just the purveyor of a nice wee bit of reading, a bit of gentle nighttime reading to soothe your spirit and maybe your troubled thoughts before you go to bed. He's not just someone that you can speak to at night and unload all your troubles. God actually works in the world. He works in this physical world. Many times all it is a thought that flits through somebody's head, and they catch it on its way through and they hold on to it. They read a piece of scripture, and God has them reading a piece of scripture that reinforces that thought. Events happen again that reinforce that thought. And then, if it's not a man, if it's a woman, it'll be done after the first reminder. But with men, it's normally 3 or 4 reminders that they need to go and do what God asks them to do. And that could be putting groceries there for someone, turning up at somebody's door just at the right time, just for someone to speak to, for someone to get saved. There are many examples of God working in people's lives. But the Lord actually said, if I send people away, their lives are going to be in jeopardy. God never sends people away. He sends them out, but he never sends them away. So the Lord does what he did before, and he says, what do you have? What do you have? And they said, with 7 loaves, And a verse or so later, he says, we have a couple of fishes. And the Lord commands everybody to sit down. You know, things have to be done in an orderly fashion. It's not about in a crowd where everybody's yelling out the first thing that comes into their heads. And God sets them down in an orderly fashion, and then he distributes to the disciples, who distribute to the people that are waiting to be fed. A very, very flat hierarchy. There were no archbishops, archdeacons, canons, monsignors and all this there. There was God, the disciples, and the people. And guess what? Everybody got plenty to eat. But the difference was, all that man had was the seven loaves and the few fishes. And that would only have satisfied maybe 2 people. Maybe 3. But with God's blessing, that satisfied 4,000 men, not counting women and children. So say maybe 10,000 people. Like, if you're going to feed 4,000 with 7 loaves and a few fishes, it's not a big stretch to feed another 6,000 or 7,000. With God's blessing. And that's what's important. We need to hear the words of Jesus Christ. It's because it's them that makes the difference. It's not the miracles of Jesus Christ. It's not the timing of Jesus Christ. It's the words of Jesus Christ. It's not even the name of Jesus Christ. It's the words of Jesus Christ. What was it that Peter said after one such instance? Whenever he had done all these amazing things and they were going to anoint him as king, he started preaching the gospel, and they thought, we're here for the glory, we're here for the power, we're here for the vengeance upon our enemies, but whenever it comes to becoming patient, whenever it comes to sacrifice, whenever it comes to us giving, we're just not so keen in that. And a lot of people walked away. And remember the words of Peter? I said, I think on them often, and I mention it many times in services. When the Lord turned to them, holy man and holy God, not half man and half God, disappointed in the number of people that were going to leave, even though we knew they were going to go, he said, are you going to leave me too? And Peter said, Lord, where else are we going to go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. He didn't say the miracles or the bread or the drink or the place. He said the words of eternal life. This is what kept these people there. This is what the people needed. And this is what the Lord delivered. And by the by, just to prove who he was, he fed 4,000 men, not counting women and children, with 7 loaves and a few small fishes. Now, they came out on their own strength, and they even lasted for a little while on their own strength, for 3 days. But it was the power of God that saved them and enabled them to come home. It was the power of God. It wasn't any part of man's wisdom or scheming or man's provision. It was the power of God. And it seemed like such a little thing. But with that little thing, there was packed lunch. Thousands of people were fed, and many, many lives were saved. We might not think of it very much because we think, oh, well, sure, we can travel from one end of Northern Ireland to the other in maybe 5 or 6 hours and maybe one refill in the diesel tank. And we can carry a few gallons of water in the back and a cool box with all the food that we never give it a second thought. But there was no such thing as roadside stops whenever, it's not like, what do you call it? Is it Applegreen? You don't have a Chinese restaurant and an Italian restaurant and a wee grocery. You didn't have that back then. Yes, you would have had towns, but they were out in the middle of nowhere. It was God's blessing. Now, the Word of God had such a great pull in these people's lives, such a resonating effect. We know that the disciples were quite literally waiting for God, because as soon as he called them, they forsook their nets and followed him. And it wasn't just 12 men that were waiting to do that. There was a literal nation was waiting for the return of the Messiah. And they stayed there as long as they could. They stayed because it was important, because it satisfied their souls, because this was the Messiah that God had prophesied for thousands of years that would come to redeem whosoever will. We know that, sadly, from the words of the Lord himself, that there's a broad road that leads to destruction and there are many on it, and there's a straight and narrow road that leads to life, and there's only a few that ever bother to go looking for it, and we haven't changed one little bit. That is, a lot of people like to call it an asset, but I think it's mankind's biggest problem is that we don't mind hearing about the Lord. The Lord's wonderful. God is good, many people will say. God is on the throne. In other words, God's will be done. And that, yes, God is on the throne, but God's will is not being done in this world. We have people in this world that will jump out of airplanes with a tablecloth, or a very big tablecloth, tied to their shoulders and their waists. Some people have to do it for their job. There's firemen parachuting into forest fires, even as we speak right now. There are soldiers that parachute into war zones, and then there's idiots that parachute for charity. And some even bigger idiots that jump out of an airplane just for the sheer adrenaline rush, just to prove a point. We have skydiving, rally driving, cave diving, base jumping, iron pumping, bungee jumping. I'm trying to get a bit of a rhyme in there. It almost sounds like a rap, but there's a whole bunch of things that people love to do that are far more dangerous and life-threatening than trusting in Jesus Christ as your Savior, and even going out and doing what he says. The thing about it is, for some strange reason, we're just not keen on experiencing it. I love to hear about the old biographies of the likes of William Moody and Adoniram Judson and George Mueller, that was it. I love to hear about them. I just can't remember them. I love to hear about them and the works that God did in their lives. And he did. Amazing works. Many thousands of souls helped and saved through their prayers and their dedication. And they're taught in schools. They're sold in shops. Many Christians have a rack, I am sure, of autobiographies of great Christians of years gone by. And yet, where are the great Christians of today? Some people may say, what about Paisley? What about Mother Teresa? What about Billy Graham? Surely they were great Christians. No. Mother Teresa was a Catholic, a Roman Catholic nun who tried to work her way to heaven. And if she didn't repent of her sins and trust in Jesus Christ alone as her Savior, she'll be in hell with all the rapists and pedophiles and murderers and thieves that rejected God just the same, and all the judges and teachers. Billy Graham he did a marvelous work for many years. But in the end of his life, he started yoking up with the Roman Catholic Church and the Mormon Church, all for the greenbacks and for the fame and for people to buy his books and think he was wonderful. Who was the other guy we mentioned? There's Ian Paisley. I did not agree with his politics and the way he went about enforcing them. And I did not agree with everything that was preached in his churches. But he was consistent. And he saw people saved. And he helped anybody that came to him. But as soon as someone pulled out the big chair, he forsook all of that to become the First Minister in Northern Ireland. Where are they? Where are the men and the women who will stand their ground and keep and stick out their chins and put their shoulder to the grindstone? I don't know. But I'll tell you one thing. I know where they all started. They all started small. And they all started with little things. I don't know who. I know in one of the feedings of the 5,000, it was a little boy, a young boy that gave his packed lunch to the Lord, and It went down a treat. It went down such a treat that there was more left over than was ever given. Now, sometimes that's all we need to do. Just give a little. I know there are many people that say, at least in the ears of their adoring public, that they want to do great things for God. And wouldn't it be great to stand in the corner of the street or to put a leaflet in the door and someone pull the door open and grab you by the hand and pump your hand and slap you on the back and say, "Do you know what? I was just waiting for that. Would you come in and tell me the gospel and tell me all about Jesus? I know there's something missing in my life and I need to get saved." We would love that. I would love for the church to be full. But you'll never be a great Christian until you start being a Christian, a little Christian, and starting small. And showing not only the world, the flesh, and the devil, but proving to yourself and proving God in your life your faithfulness in little things. And your trust in God in little things. There's an old saying that from little acorns, great oak trees grow, and it's the same for Christians. Every Christian that I have heard of never started with parting the Red Sea. They all started small. Started small for Moses. He was thrown into a basket and committed to the Nile and lifted out by Pharaoh's daughter and raised as a king so that he could lead his people. It started small. Now, I know we like to hear about the amazing things that God does, and that's why we like to have, if anybody ever has a thanks or a praise for the Lord in our prayer list at the very back, we like to hear about it. Because we like to hear about the good things. We don't just need to pray about the bad things that's going on. We need to pray and thank God for the good things that he does in our lives too. And sometimes we need to counter blessings, just like the song says. There's 101 reasons why so many souls in churches and around the world love to hear about the great things that God does, but are afraid to actually go out and do something for God. And I don't know what everybody's bugbear is or what everybody's roadblock is. The Lord does, and that's entirely up to him, between that person and him. But my call to you is to give a little. Now, we're not talking about tithes. I'm not talking about wanting your money, even though I think this is the second time in maybe 2 weeks that I've mentioned tithes and money. It's part of life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a little bit of your time. talking about a little bit of the time that we seem to spend so willingly on the computer. And I don't mean work, I mean just browsing and putting in a little bit of time. Or a little bit of effort that we normally spend so willingly on the things that we love. And give them to God. And ask him to bless it and see what he can actually do. Or, what about a word or two? Because many times we have plenty of words and we are well practiced in giving our opinions. No problem speaking, especially not in Northern Ireland, when they talk about the Blarney Stone. What about giving a little to God? There are many good songs. We all know the song, Little as Much When God Is In It. Yeah? A lot of people seem to stop there. The little as much when God is in it is there to show us, well, hold on a wee second. If we can give a little bit of our effort, of our day, of our time, of our words, and yes, indeed, of our money, and God blesses it and uses it and works in people's lives, what would happen if I did that twice a week instead of just once a week? What would happen if I did it once every day instead of just once a week? I don't know. But I can tell you this, you will never outgive God. You will never stand in heaven or stand in front of people and say, oh, well, I gave God an hour of my time and he never did anything. You'll never be able to say that. In Malachi 3, there's a great little verse that says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You will never outgive God. You will never outstrategize God or outplan God. You will never outperform him. I was watching a thing on YouTube about some big Russian who they reckon was the strongest man that ever lived. And one of these big other weightlifters said his arms were like my legs. He was that strong. His hands were maybe 3 or 4 times the size of my hands. And he was the strongest man that ever lived. Never lost an arm wrestle. I don't think he ever lost one of these strongest men competitions. And we would be like a school kid trying to arm wrestle this monster of a man whenever, if we were to carry that analogy between us and Jesus Christ. He is huge. He is powerful. He is strong. And he desires to walk and talk with us. He desires to be part of your life. And he desires to show you that you being part of his life is better than jumping out of airplanes. Is better than jumping off of... Isn't it funny how so many of our thrills involve a lack of gravity? Or maybe the possible consequences of gravity, or jumping off a bridge and looking at the ground as it races up to you at 9.8 meters per second squared. It's greater than that. That the greatest thrills in this world are not to be found racing towards the ground at who knows how many hundreds of miles an hour, but walking to heaven a step at a time with the Lord Jesus Christ. No, it doesn't seem like it, and there's no implied threat in this little portion of scripture that we've just read. But things were dire for some of those people. Jesus knew that. They had expended their own resources to hear what the Lord had to say. And their lives were in jeopardy because of it. But God provided a solution. It was simple. It was straightforward. At the risk of making it very modern, everybody got tuna fish sandwiches, whether they like tuna fish or not. And God's solution today is still just as simple. In fact, it's even easier to get a hold of. You don't have to be in a huge company of 4,000 people for God to take notice of you, because each one of us has an immortal soul that God gave his life for on the cross at Calvary that is worth an untold fortune. Just listen to the words of eternal life. words that in another situation could be used for conveying the state of the weather. But in this situation, in this time, for convicting a soul of its sin and judgment to come. To pass on the notion that we are all indeed sinners and need a great Saviour. Otherwise, we're not going to make it. We need to let God save us. If He saved your soul, amen. Let Him save your life. Give Him a wee in your life. Let Him seal you, preserve you, strengthen you, direct you. Not just for an hour or two in the week, but give Him another bit of time. Don't just go out and do things. Check with God and say, well, God, what do you think I should do? And if you have to strain your ears, strain them a little bit. Or take a quiet moment or two and just think about it. But give Him that little bit. He fed thousands of people twice in the eyes of New Testament people that would become New Testament Christians. What do you think that He could do with just the little bit that you would give Him? I'm not saying that people are not doing enough. I'm not saying that someone's doing too much. Although I do remember an analogy that somebody made about modern day Christianity being like modern day football. There's 30,000 people sitting in their backsides watching that really need to get up and run about, watching 22 men run their hearts out who really need to be sitting down. And that's the way modern Christianity tends to be, but it doesn't have to be. Just the same, in the same way that the illegal death of an out of work carpenter and an itinerant preacher seemed so unimportant to so many back in the day, and yet it gave mankind its greatest hope. The blessed hope. So even the little things that you and I would dare to do for Jesus, as He leads and guides and blesses, will make a tremendous, eternal, life-changing difference. Not just in our lives, but in the lives of everybody around and about us. Whether it saves them for the endless ages of eternity, or it gives the Lord the opportunity to say to them at the great white throne of judgment, I told you, through my servant Norman or Ling or Will or Taylor or Christie or Monica, I told you, do you remember when he preached his heart out, when he shared his testimony? I told you. Those few words could have saved your soul for the endless ages of eternity if you had let me. Let us let God do something with the little bit of time that we let God have. Amen. I'm going to stop there. Thank you for your good time. God bless you. We're in our big red books for our closing hymn this morning. Hymn number 319. If you're able, we'll stand as we sing Just a Closer Walk with Thee.
I am weak, but Thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to Thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Through none but Thee, dear Lord, none but Thee. Just a closer walk with Thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea.
Dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the time in your presence. And I pray you, Lord, that you would work upon us and don't be done with us even as we leave the church hall this morning, that you would continue to work in our hearts and minds and never be done with us, Lord. Take us and use us. And we just pray especially for Stan, for the doctors and nurses that are tending to him, that you would just touch them all and deliver him some healing. And keep him, Lord, and look after Karen and the rest of the family and church family up there. And Lord, our brothers and sisters across the world. I pray you, Lord, most importantly, that your will would be done and that souls would be saved. We love you and thank you. We look forward to meeting up together again this evening. And we ask this and, of course, our private prayer requests, Lord. We ask them all according to your will and in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Folks, we're dismissed. God bless you. Shake hands and fellowship for a little bit.
Well,